Hey, everybody, this is Brett, and welcome back to School Sucks Podcast. Today is February 18th, 2012. Are you excited about today's show by the title so far? Wow, I hope so. Anyway, here's the news. Last week, or I guess it was earlier this week, I filled in on the Liberty Conspiracy Live show, the show that I am going to be hosting once a week, and Gardner and I will combine our efforts to do a kind of School Sucks Liberty Conspiracy live program. But the live thing, like especially at the end of last week, we were getting a lot of calls and the show was like we were really kind of getting a momentum and we got into a groove. And I'm really into the idea of doing a live show. So I'm thinking about a way to do a unique School Sucks show live a couple of times a week. But that's going to cost money. It's going to be a lot of work. And it's just something that I'm thinking about right now. But because of last week having to fill in on Liberty Conspiracy, not only did that take up a lot of time, but I also wound up taking some School Sucks show prep and working it into our show. I think it was Wednesday and Thursday night. So even though you are going to hear a live show once a week in this feed no matter what, here is some extra content that I wanted to explore with a couple of other people, Jason and Dale, from the Wednesday night show where we talk about narcs in school. The other thing I should mention before we go much further, taking up quite a bit of my time this past week was a video that I was making called The American Way, which is actually taken from an old episode of School Sucks Podcast, number 25. Now, of course, all the audio is re-recorded because that would be a real, you know, waste of people's time if I was putting out new videos with old audio. So that's all re-recorded, and, you know, I'm happy with this video. It's not professional. I'm still using iMovie HD. But it took a lot of time to do that, so again, I'm using some content from the live show for the show today. But it's a lot more than just a few of us talking. I'm really surprised that I haven't gotten around, I guess it's my fault and I guess I should apologize, that I haven't gotten around to covering this topic a lot sooner than right now, because I think this is like a real problem, and this was a problem when I was in high school. I mean, I remember us being on the lookout for narcs in the mid-90s, so this is not a new thing. But the story came back to my attention last Saturday. I was driving home from teaching an SAT class, and I was listening to NPR, National Public Radio, which I don't mind all the time, especially on Saturday. They have this show called This American Life. And I like the hosts, I like the stories that they cover. So I'm listening to it, and just this heartbreaking story that I'm going to play for you in its entirety before you hear us talking about it, because I really think it's something you should hear. And, you know, this really got me thinking about, well, what's the best way to deal with this? And I think the most important thing is that we talk about it, that we get this information out there, because this might, if you're a high school student or even a college student and you're affiliated with a group like Normal, N-O-R-M-L, the marijuana policy group, you know, for marijuana legalization, there might be people in your midst who are, you know, undercover or at least working as snitches, essentially, for the police. And in high school, I think this usually happens after somebody winds up getting busted, but the more research that I did over the course of the last week, this actually just recently, I came across something called Regional Occupation Programs, ROP, appropriately. And this is actually a description of one from the Sutter County Superintendent of Schools, the Tri-County Regional Occupational Program. Here's just a brief synopsis. The law enforcement program is designed for both men and women who wish to enter the law enforcement field. The program is also designed for students interested in fields related to the administration of criminal justice and for students who wish to transfer to a college and complete an AA, BA, or BS in police science, law enforcement, or corrections. Now, this is troubling because the more I looked into this, what I found out was, this is true. I totally could believe this, but it didn't mean that like I didn't have a reaction to it. I guess in some of these classes, in some places, the person running the class will pick a select group of students out of a group of maybe 30. They'll pick a handful. and they'll have them transfer to a different school temporarily where they will try to infiltrate the social scene and get money that they can report back to the – what did I say? Get money. No, get information that they can report back to the police. You know, this isn't somebody coerced by the police under threat of greater penalty into narking on their friends. And these are kids who are, like, actively seeking this out because they think they're doing the right thing. And that's, of course, a result of their schooling. So today on the show, I want to play the NPR piece in its entirety, and then you can listen to the three of us talk about it. We want to offer some advice. We thought that we might be in a somewhat decent position to provide some information about this, because this is obviously a concern of Free State Project members who are worried about infiltration from feds. So people, you know, looking to snoop around and find out information about you know, what goes on in the Free State Project. So other things, probably just a couple more months, less than a couple months away from a brand new website. And let me throw this out there. I want to learn how to be completely self-sufficient as far as all these technical things are concerned. And I'm working on that, learning graphic design, learning web design. But if you have experience, and this is volunteer work, you know, there might be a little bit of a good way to promote your services, but probably not too much pay. If you are proficient in WordPress or in graphic design, and you have some free time, and you're interested in being part of a team, just throw that out there. If you want to learn more or talk about it with me, contact me on Facebook. That's probably the best way to get me. That's where I am all the time. Where else would I be? What else would I do? Facebook.com. Oh, and Words with Friends. That's the other thing I do. Find me on there. I will play you all. I don't care if I have 1,000 games going at once. I play with everyone. I play it with my girlfriend. I play it with my brother. I play it with my friends from college. I play it with people I grew up with. I play it with ex-girlfriends. I play it with my mom's friends. Okay? I will play anyone. And that includes you. Words with Friends. Okay. So here's the NPR piece, and I'll follow that up with our discussion from the other night. Thank you for listening, and take care.
American Life from Ira Glass. Today on our program for Valentine's Day, What I Did for Love, stories about people who believe in love and do all kinds of things for love. We have arrived at Act 2 of our program, Act 2, 21 Chump Street. Last year, at three high schools in Palm Beach County, Florida, a bunch of young police officers were sent undercover to pose as students. These were recent graduates of the police cadet program, and they blended right in. They went to classes, they ate in the cafeteria, they hung out on the basketball court during recess, they had fake Facebook accounts, of course. They even took the state's standardized test, the FCAT. Police officers were there undercover because parents and principals had complained about drugs being sold at the schools. Only the principals at the schools knew of their presence. No teachers knew it, no parents knew it. Now, maybe it is hard to imagine a love story coming out of this situation, but one did. A love story where somebody went out of his way and took action at a key moment for love. Robbie Brown tells what happened.
The plan was called Operation D-, and one of the schools included in the plan was Park Vista Community High School, where a kid named Justin LeBoy, an 18-year-old honor roll student, was in the last semester of his senior year. And Justin could hardly believe his luck when a very pretty new girl, everyone had noticed her, showed up in not just one, but two of his classes.
The name that she used was Naomi. I think it was Naomi Rodriguez. And she sat in front of me, but then I sat next to her. So I started talking to her. Oh, hey, my name is Justin, you know. Oh, I'm Naomi. I'm from New York, this and that. Oh, really? Me too. And I had a hat that said New York on it too, because I was trying to show her that I wasn't lying or faking it. She said she was from Queens. I'm from the Bronx. And she was Puerto Rican and Dominican, and that's what caught me even more. I was like, oh, man. Okay, and then I was Puerto Rican, and I was talking to her a little Spanish. She would talk to me a little Spanish. And then I just got really close to her. I got attached real quick. I was like, wow, look at this, you know?
What did she look like?
She was about 5'4", black straight hair, light-skinned. She was mature. In the body-wise, so I mean, that caught a lot of people's attention. But the things that she did that I thought that made her a real student was that she would sleep in class. She wouldn't do her homework. I would have to wake her up all the time, be like, hey, listen, wake up. You're going to get in trouble. Hey, you didn't do your homework? Okay, I'll let you copy my homework, okay? Because, I mean, I take my classes, seriously, But with her, it was different. I was just like, oh, man, she's cute. I could talk to her, I'll get in trouble once in a while. You'll be like, Justin, stop talking. But okay.
Justin's a good-looking guy, popular and well-liked. He'd had girlfriends before, but nothing that lasted. Nothing that seemed worth holding on to. But Naomi seemed different. She was a good listener. She didn't seem to gossip or play games. She seemed very adult.
It's the maturity level that I really care for. And, I told her a lot of my feelings, I told her how I felt for her. I mean, I'm not the type of person to open up to you unless we have a really good relationship. And I was just open up so much. And I told her about all my whole life story, about my parents. I told her problems I had.
What was it about her that made you trust her, that made you feel like you could open up to her?
She had told me that she came up here with her mother, that they was having problems in New York. So, they came over here to Florida to settle down to, have a better life. And little stuff like that, to telling people, I believe that, oh, wow, okay, since you're telling me stuff like this, I could tell you about my life. Yeah, I'm having hard troubles with this person right here, or I'm having trouble with my parents, or stuff. Little stuff like that makes people bond together,
Justin believed he was seeing signs that Naomi was starting to like him. Like him. They walked together in the halls. They would text during class. He says she even let him kiss her on the cheek. And he serenaded her in front of their entire class.
I'll be like, oh, I'm going to sing you a song. She'll be like, oh, okay. And then I'll just start singing. And then I'll get all blushed up. Be like, oh, man, what am I doing? Okay, let me continue. I'll start rapping to her and I'll start singing. And I mean, I even danced too. So I danced for her and I did.
You really like this girl.
Man, it tore me apart. I was like, oh my God.
And so you felt like all the signs were good.
Oh, of course. I felt all the signs were good because I never got a non-sign. So therefore, I was just like, okay, everything's good. I know I'm taking it slow. I know I'm taking it good. Usually it doesn't take me that long to get a girlfriend when I start talking to them. So when it took me, I found it kind of odd that, I was like, wow, I'm such a great dude. And, we're hanging out, what's the next step? I don't care about sex or anything. I just want to know if you're going to be mine.
So she was playing kind of hard to get.
Yes. I mean, me, I love that. So it attracted me even more. I was like, oh my, I love girls that guys can't have. So I'm like, this is awesome.
And in hindsight, she was probably playing hard to get for a different reason.
Yes, for a different reason,
All of this built up inevitably to Justin asking Naomi to prom.
Yeah, she's a senior, I'm a senior. Our last year, I don't know where we're going to be after this. So let me just step up and be a man and do what I got to do. So I went up to her in class and I was like, listen, I know you don't know anybody in this school that much. And I don't want to go to anybody in this school. And, I feel really attracted to you. Would you like to come with me to prom? Oh, that sounds nice. Okay. Excuse me. Let me think about it. I was blushing red. I was like, oh my God. What if she says no? What if she says yes? Then after she gave me the okay, yeah, around the more of a yes side, I was okay. I was good.
Prom was coming up and, I guess he needed a date.
I interviewed the undercover officer who played Naomi. She's a 25-year-old new recruit with the Palm Beach School's police force. She wouldn't give me her real name and only agreed to a phone interview if her supervising sergeant could listen in. She wouldn't talk to me about any specific cases or kids at the school, including Justin, but she did confirm that she was asked to prom. She doesn't remember it quite the way Justin does, though. Mainly, she says she didn't say yes.
I told him I wasn't going just because since this is not where I spent the last 3 years of high school, I didn't really want to go to the prom, and I had to pay for the ticket and everything else. So I was like, nah, it's too much money for me. And he bought it.
Justin and Naomi didn't end up going to prom, of course, partly because of what happened next. One day at the beginning of April, after Naomi had been at school for about 3 months, she and Justin had a conversation about drugs.
She asked me if I smoked, and I told her, no, I do not smoke, but if you need anything, I'll be more than happy to help you out. So, you know, like I said, I'm not a drug dealer. It's hard for me to get drugs at all. So it's not like she told me this day and then I got it for her the very next day. You know, it took me a while, you know. She would text me and I would text her. She'd be like, do you have it yet? No, I don't have it at the moment right now. And she'll be at school. Hey, do you have that yet? No, I don't have it right now. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. I'm really trying to, like, my hardest to get it and I can't get it, you know, because I like the girl. So.
What are you thinking as you're trying to get this pot to sell to her?
I'm thinking, what the heck am I doing? I never done this in the school before, so I'm really scared and skeptical about it too at the same point. And I'm like, oh man, okay. So I'm asking my homeboy, and my friend's like, no, I don't know, I don't know, because I don't hang out with guys like that.
Maybe Justin didn't know guys like that, and maybe he did. The police say he told Naomi he smoked pot. Justin says he was just trying to seem cool, to impress her. But what's certain is he did find somebody who would sell to him. A person his cousin knew, he says. So a couple days after they first talked about it, Justin brought a rolled-up baggie of marijuana to school for Naomi.
And I was petrified. I was like, oh my God, I'm actually going to do this. So we was in class, and I sat right next to her, and she was like, hey, do you have that? And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I do. And I was like, okay, we're going to wait a few, because I didn't want it to, I'm not going to be like, oh, hey, you know, give it to her in her hand, slide it, or, but she was like, okay, put it in my purse. Okay, she put her purse on top of my desk, and then slid it right in there. She goes, okay, now I'll take the money. I was like, no, I don't need the money. It's okay, just have it. You could take it. She goes, no, please take the money. You know, you make me feel bad. So 10 minutes passed, and then we're still arguing about it. I'm like, please, no, I don't want the money, you know. And she goes, no, just take the money. Please take the money. You'll make me feel better. I'm just like, okay, you know what? So you could just shut up. I'll take the money, you know. Don't worry, you know. You're making me feel bad now that I'm taking the money from you.
How much money?
$25.
And this was at school?
Yes.
Justin would later find out it's a felony in Florida to sell marijuana. And the penalty is even harsher for selling it on school property. In other words, Justin had made an irreversibly bad decision. The worst decision of his life, he says. And since he was over 18, he was legally an adult when he made it. Finally, in May, the police did a big sweep. They arrested 31 people at several schools, almost all of them students who had sold small amounts of marijuana. Justin was one of them.
And they said that I had sold to an undercover cop, and I'm weirded out. I'm like, whoa, who did I ever sell to? And then it just popped into my head that the only person that I ever did give anything to was this female. And I was shocked. My emotions were running. I was just like, oh my God, this is so mean. This is so messed up. How can she do this, you know? I mean, if it was a guy doing this, if a guy ever tried to come up to me like this, I would have put my hand in his face straight up and said, no, get out of my face, please, get out of my face. I don't associate with that, you know? But it's just the female. It's a different feeling that you get for female than you would when you have your homeboy or a guy come up to you and ask you questions like that. Oh, hey, do you smoke? No, I don't. Get out of here. You know, it's a different feeling that when you get from a girl you like, you know, you're not going to turn down the person that you want to be with.
So, I'm listening to NPR on Sunday. I do that sometimes. There's this decent, like, human interest sort of topical, soft news kind of show called This American Life. And they have this story about this boy. He's a high school boy. His name was Justin. And he's talking about this girl who came to his school that he met. And she was beautiful, and he really started to enjoy her company and obviously had these romantic feelings for her. And he starts kind of forming this plan to ask her to the big prom, you know? And all she wants, I mean, she's befriended him and she's, you know, nice to him, but all she really wants is to get her hands on some pot.
So she can smoke some pot. Now, Justin doesn't really run with that crowd, according to the story, at least according to his telling of the story. So he's kind of at a loss for what to do. Eventually, he does manage to track down some pot after a lot of pressure from this girl.
Ooh, well, hot girl.
Yeah, this hot girl who's like...
I'll find some pot if... Well, I wouldn't, but...
Who seems to be, you know, using his desire to date her, kind of hanging that over him to get some pot. So finally, Justin scores a little bit of pot, and he brings it to the girl, and he's so happy, and he says, here, you can have it. And she goes, oh, no, I insist.
Let me pay you
Let me pay you $25 for what you got. I have to. And he fought her on this for a little bit, but eventually, you know, he took the $25. And guess what?
Narc.
What did you say?
Narc.
No, okay, it sounded, I heard... different things.
Yeah. I said cop.
And you said narc. And I think same the difference. Combination of the two in my headphones sounded like some other word. So anyway, the girl was an undercover cop. And she was in her mid-20s. And this is like a sting operation that's been going on a lot of different places in the country where they'll, you know, bring cops into the school and mix them in with students. Wasn't there a television show about this? Like years ago with Johnny Depp.
21 Jump Street. Didn't they're about to do a movie. Like they're doing a movie of it.
Oh, of
it looks funny.
Because it was a TV show once. So
the movie's
going to
be
a
comedy, and it's not taking it as seriously as the show was.
Who's in it?
I think
Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
I've seen the trailer. And now I remember it clearly. Yes. I said they're making a movie out of that, as I say every time I see a trailer these days, pretty much. They're making a movie out of that. So, so the girl was a cop, and... this is somebody who is not coming in. I mean, even from the point of view of the cop, like, okay, I already see illegal activity coming in. This really sounds like entrapment to me.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, she's encouraging him to do this.
And he's not doing it otherwise. It's not like she's trying to catch someone who's doing this. She's trying to encourage someone to break a law so that she can get them for it.
Right. And this is even lazy police work, because if she befriends this popular kid. Now, obviously, she's a cop and she's 25, so she can't start a relationship with a 17-year-old boy. We get that. But she could. I mean, if she really was like a go-getter, as most bureaucrats are not, she could have befriended Justin and, you know, gotten into his social network.
Found out who might actually
found out
be dealing
who
drugs.
The big drug dealers in the school are, right? This is some ambitious police work. But no, she takes this lazy approach of just... oh, well, I'm already friends with this guy, so I'll just make him into a drug dealer.
I wonder, did she then use that as leverage to find out where he got it from so that she could go after them? That's something that seems to be part of the plan, is to get the small-time person and to get them scared and dealing with you to turn over who they got it from and then follow the chain, the food chain up.
No. Don't be silly. Okay. To go after the big-time drug dealers... that's dangerous. That would require, right. You know, taking on some kind of risk.
Sure.
But when you can go after Mr. Justin.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, he doesn't carry a gun. He, right. You know, he's probably never been in a fight. You got nothing to worry about. You can rack up your numbers and get paid and not have to worry about your safety. And that's what it's all about.
So happy ending to the story with Justin anyway. His biggest thing that he wanted to do after high school was join the military. But after he was convicted of a misdemeanor, that option was off the table. So he was sad about that. But in the long run, maybe that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. That's one of those things that I always have mixed feelings about, because, you know, the military recently just became more open.
Yeah, yeah.
Less discriminatory. And that's the right thing for the government to do, is not to discriminate, without a doubt. But I have mixed feelings, because I would love for as many excuses to avoid military service to exist as possible.
Right.
Because I really just hate the thought of people going in there. So
I thought maybe we could do a little public service for the youngsters and talk about some ways. And this is something that I think we've had some experience with, is how do you spot people who might be undercover? What are some things to be on the lookout for?
Now, that's a good service.
We're free staters, right? And we haven't like unearthed a bunch of undercover people in our midst, but there's people here who are kind of on the lookout for that. And there are some telltale signs of somebody who's trying to infiltrate something. What do they do? And I think that when you're in high school, And there might be a lot of excitement about drugs or drinking or things that are considered these illegal activities. People might be too quick to, you know, give somebody too much of their trust. So I think even though we're probably going to run out of time in this segment pretty soon, we can talk about some strategies for how to identify those kind of people, or at least what to be on the lookout for.
I don't think they're very good, but I mean, they're mostly going after the easy targets because they're not very good. Like you said, Jason, or Brett, I think actually was saying, she could have, if she wanted to be ambitious, done some networking and found the real culprits, but she just did the easy thing, right? She found the easy target.
I was going to say, here's your first clue. So when you're trying to give someone weed and they want to give you money, even though you insist on not taking their money, they're probably a narc.
Yeah.
And if you get busted, you probably deserved it.
But if you don't know that, right? And Justin was 16 or 17 years old, and he's completely new to this kind of experience. No one's ever asked him to do this before. Obviously, he's blinded a little bit by emotion because he has feelings for this girl.
I could see him thinking that she didn't want to take it for free because then, although I don't know that kids think this complexly at that age, but she didn't want him to think that she owed him something now, right? Because he gave her free pot and he's going to want something for that, right?
Sure.
But that's, again, I don't expect him to think that through.
Well, I think we can get started on this. And one thing, I think that what you bring up, Osborne, is a very good point. If somebody is begging to give you money for something that you're more than happy to give them for free, I guess that would be a sign. But I think, first of all, the biggest service is to point out to people that this is something that's happening, that high school kids know that they could be, infiltrated by the police.
Right.
And
if someone's trying to get you to do an illegal activity and you don't know them very well, you should always be thinking of anyone that's trying to get you to do something illegal. How well do you know them? And might they have nefarious intentions?
Sure. And just because you're a good person and you've never hurt anybody and you've never done anything really wrong in your life, don't think that means that the police aren't going to treat you like the Gambino crime family.
They are not your friend.
They are not your
friends.
They are
out to make arrests.
Exactly.
And if they're asking you questions, they're probably digging to find out if you've broken a law or something they can get you on.
Ooh,
and the more innocent you are, the more interested they are in trying to find a way to lock you up because, as we just talked about, you are an easy target.
Right. Right. You're not dangerous. You're not a threat to them.
That's a really good point.
Go on their arrest record, and they are trying to rack up arrests, and they need to at least look busy. If you're not, they have to justify their job. They have to feel important. They have to make other people think that they're important and doing things. And if nothing else, they've got to look busy, and that means making arrests.
Yeah.
If they're not handing out tickets or whatever other thing a police officer might be doing.
We're going to pick this up right after the break. You should give us a call, 603-499-PRC. If you're listening, you can Skype in at In Your Head Shows, and we'll be right back. PRC or Skype in at In Your Head Shows. Talking about narcs, undercover cops, feds, that kind of stuff. And you know, you were talking about this story that came from a public school kid was kind of dragooned into giving his trust to this girl, and she wanted him to buy drugs for her or get drugs for her. And then she insisted on paying him for the drugs, even though he didn't want to. And then he was arrested, charged with a misdemeanor, screwed up his future plans a little bit. But they interviewed the cop in this story, too.
Speaking of screwing up his future plans, now the arrest and the charges and whatnot, that kind of takes a toll on his life.
Sure.
But I think the worst damage is in his mind, his view in the future going forward of women. Like, how can that guy ever have a healthy relationship with
a woman
after something like that?
Just going to have to go gay.
That was one of the particular.
Got the pill yet, but, when they do develop the pill, but.
Particularly sad thing about the story, too, was he blamed himself. He said, this was a stupid thing that I did.
Well, it was.
Yeah.
But he isn't the bad guy.
Right.
Of course
but that's
not.
What, when you right. blame yourself and you're that age and it's you versus the law and the law is just and the rules are just. Yeah. You kind of, I think you do internalize that as you did yeah. something that was bad.
Well, it's been banged into his head that they're the good guys. They're here to protect us.
Yeah.
And he's a bad guy because he broke the law, a really stupid law where there are no victims, which means that it's really not a crime.
Sure.
But that's what's been badgered into his head, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
And now he thinks he's a bad person, and that's what's really obscene. And a lot of other people are going to think so, too, because he broke the law. Employers will look at that on his record, and it will follow him around. It's really sad.
So here we are, libertarian media producers, taking a story about something bad that happened to somebody, and look at us, turning it into something constructive. Maybe, hopefully, providing a public service here where we can help young people figure out ways where they can spot undercovers or narcs and avoid getting themselves into a lot of trouble for really doing nothing wrong. Now, I've said a bunch of times on my show, if I could do 16, 17, 18 again, I would probably do it without pot. I would have liked to have been, you know, going through those last few years of school, I would have liked to have been more on my toes as far sure. as, you know, my BS detector was concerned. And instead of just, you know, going through most of high school high. And you know, if I was...
I didn't smoke anything until after 30.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it wasn't much even then. And
I don't do it today
just
anymore.
Just a little bit of experimentation. But I don't either. I'm done with pot.
So. I did it a lot then. I mean, I was high all the time. And, you know, I think that there's people who can have that kind of lifestyle and be productive, and there's people who can't.
It's true. There are people. It's very true. There are people who actually function better. They're more creative, or depending on what their work is, whatever it is, sometimes they function better that way, and I am not.
Right, right.
I know that, and I've always known that whenever I have smoked, it's always been when I didn't have anything important to do. If I had something important to do, I knew I couldn't touch it.
Yeah.
No, I'm not, I've got something I got to do. I can't do it.
So my official position is I don't recommend it for young people. And, you know, I think I would have been better off at that age without it. But still, it's not like you're doing something that's actually wrong.
You're right. I would not recommend it either. I would encourage people not to do it. But it feels silly to try and demonize it the way the anti-drug movements
sure.
do. It's absolutely not. I would feel much better. If someone I cared about, I'd feel much better if they were smoking a lot of pot than if they were drinking a lot, for instance.
Sure, yeah.
That would bother me much more. I don't care that one of them's legal, and there is the legality of it that makes it a scary drug. That's all. There's just the fact that you can get in trouble for it.
Yeah.
Because they are cracking down on it, and it's silly, but it is. That is the reality we live in, and so that's why we're going to give people a heads up on some things to look out for.
Yeah.
And I would say, don't get hung up on trying to analyze whether someone is an undercover cop, but be aware of things you should watch out for and kind of presume that they are until you know better. I think that's a way to look at it. If anyone that you don't know really well, first of all, someone new shows up and they're immediately talking about illegal activities.
Yeah.
That's a red flag. Be very on guard about that.
Where do I get the pot?
Yeah.
Who sells pot?
Yeah. I would say a general rule that I've seen people who do smoke, the general rule is one way that people earn trust is to be the first one to provide the pot. Like,
yeah.
Here it is, and it's free. You just share it. You don't try to sell it.
Yeah.
You don't right away try. Don't ever buy pot from someone until they give you some first. Just
right.
one joint or one fill one bowl, because a cop, as I understand it, is I don't think they're supposed to do that. I bet they can. It's hard to say what they can or can't do, but I don't think they're supposed to disseminate drugs.
Well, and keep in mind, there's a difference between an undercover cop and an informant.
That's so, right, and that's what you mentioned.
And this is why they use informants, because the informant doesn't have to obey any particular rules. So a cop is not allowed to.
And they might already have trust of people.
Right.
You were saying give the tip you mentioned when we were.
Yeah. The number one thing to watch out for is if you have someone who has recently been arrested and you don't see them doing time, they're probably an informant. So don't do anything illegal around them.
Well, I think that what would add to that suspicion, there's a lot of situations where people are arrested for a misdemeanor and they don't go to jail. because they're, you know, they can be fined, they can get community service. But if they come back and start like itching to get into some kind of illegal activity or to get you or other people into some kind of illegal activity, that's usually a telltale sign that, you know, they might be running the net, you know, through the school or through whatever kind of social network we're talking about. And I think that we have a little bit of experience, like I said before, about having eyes open for this kind of stuff. There was an incident at Porkfest a couple years ago where somebody was called out. I don't remember if it was, if they wound up being right or wrong.
I don't think it was about the accusation. Ever verified that they were an agent or some sort.
The person ultimately disappeared from the scene.
Yeah, speaking of Porkfest, then there's just kind of weird antisocial people.
Sure.
Who will just walk up and say, "Hey guys, where do I find the marijuana?"
Oh yeah,
just because
if they call it marijuana, that's a flag right there.
Sure. You know, that's another thing too that I think is unique to our situation is that this is a wide open kind of tent, and it's a very welcoming community, and that will have the tendency to attract some weirds. And it will also communities that are open and welcoming, like I think the Free State community is, at least that's how I found it. It tends to attract once in a while people who, you know, want to take advantage of that. So yeah. I don't think that people need to be overly suspicious, but I think it's good in any sort of large social network where a bunch of people from different backgrounds are mixing together, you can expect that you're going to make a handful of good friends and people that you can trust. And then, you know, everybody else, there's no reason why you can't be polite, but it's good to keep them at least half arm's length, I think.
Have a healthy space bubble.
Yeah. And that's been my approach anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I kind of looked at this like any other group of people. There's going to be people that I think are the greatest people in the world, and there's going to be people that I don't care for very much. And, you know, I think that that's kind of true with school because everyone is being brought together, not for some kind of good reason. It's just basically based on the geography of where they live, but it is a diverse group of people. And it's good to be friendly but cautious as far as like who you let into your circle of trust. I can't think of a better term than that for what we're talking about here.
Your star chamber.
So we talked about, you know, if somebody lands themselves in trouble with the law and they come back and they want you to get involved in some kind of illegal activity with them, that's a sign. If a new person shows up, no reason why you can't be polite to them. But if they start asking a bunch of questions about, you know, what kind of illegal activities you might be involved in, that's another sign.
I think also just getting really personal really fast.
Sure.
If they're asking you a lot of really personal questions right away, your privacy is valuable. You shouldn't just tell someone you just met every little detail about your life right away. If they're wanting to know every little detail right away, that should be odd.
Yeah, exactly. More on this in a bit. 603-499-PORC. Skype in your head shows. Welcome back to Liberty Conspiracy Live. I'm Brett.
And Osborne.
And Dale.
You sound down. Everything okay?
Just mixing it up a little bit.
Just mixing it, yeah.
I think
yeah.
All this talk of undercover cops is just really depressing.
But we're turning in a positive spin on it here, I think.
We are telling people some tips so that you can actually empower yourselves to be prepared for the fact that these policemen are not your friends.
Absolutely.
And they're out to get you.
And if you ever have had any experience with this, be it in high school or elsewhere, please give us a call, 603-499-PORC. This is a live show. Consider calling in or Skyping in at In Your Head Shows.
In Your Head Shows for Skype. That'll be really handy for international listeners, too. You don't have to call long distance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what else do we have on this as far as like things that people should be on the lookout for, especially young people who might be new to this kind of situation?
Well, I don't know if you know this, Brett, but a few years back, I actually produced a documentary film on how to buy, sell, grow marijuana, and how to spot undercovers and informants.
Well, it sounds like you might have some helpful information.
And anyone who wants to get a hold of that can go to nevergetrated.com and check that out.
Can you give us one freebie for the youngsters?
Here's the biggest tip that I can give you. The one I gave you earlier about how to know someone is an informant. Whether they've recently been arrested and have not been charged with anything. How to spot an undercover cop is to make them do a giant bong rip.
Yeah.
This is the most surefire way to know.
That's nigh impossible to fake. Because they can fake a hit.
Yeah, you hand them a joint and they can like pretend like they're smoking it and still be within the letter of their rules. But you cannot fake a 6-foot bong rip.
They still make these 6-foot bongs? That's still a thing?
I hope
yeah.
so.
They're really? Expensive, but yeah.
Seems
I don't
like.
Think many people have 6-foot bongs, though, Jason.
Okay, well, probably a 3-foot bong would work.
I would say, like, don't they make the, like,
get
nice
it nice
ones
and filled
today?
Up nice with smoke and put your hand over it and say, oh, here you go, take that.
I hope you kids at home aren't still using the tub with the 2-liter bottles. Oh, boy.
I'm not sure I'm even familiar with
that. Like I said, I'm not endorsing pot, but go get yourself some nice glass.
Always look for if someone asks you to repeat what you said or say it louder or turn down the radio and say that again or speak closer to my lapel. Yep.
So I think we're ready to move beyond this story, but I think that the most helpful thing obviously here is just the basic information that this is something that's going on. So this is a real thing. This is something that's happening. And, you know, if you're a young person, you are a very easy target for this kind of stuff because police assume that you don't know your rights and you're kind of defenseless and you're sort of a somewhat, I don't want to say underrepresented, but
it's a myth that they have to tell you they're a cop if you ask them. That is a myth. They can lie through their teeth over and over again, and in fact, they're trained to lie very well.
Absolutely.
A big myth is a cop has to tell you that they're a cop if you ask them. That's not true at all.
That's what I just said.
Yeah. Did you say that? I don't know. Maybe you didn't. But it bears repeating.
It bears repeating. That's right.
Because it's a very important thing to remember.
It is. And the other thing that I would like to emphasize about this story that has been said, but this guy was innocent. He wasn't out. He wasn't a drug dealer. They coaxed him into doing it. So don't think that you're a good, if you feel like you're a good kid and you obey the laws and all that stuff, don't think that makes you safe from
exactly.
a police officer who's trying to make a sting.
Yeah.
No matter what high school you go to, your school is crawling with undercover informants. These police love to create little armies and networks of people in your school finding out everything that you are doing. It is ridiculous the amount of information they have
about
everything that's going on.
And they're lazy,
figure
too.
That.
So if you're an easy mark, you know, if like Jason pointed out a couple breaks ago, if you're an easy mark, they might come after you. How did you say it? The more innocent you are?
The easier target you are.
Exactly. Exactly.
When I talked to the officer who plays Naomi, she said she had no regrets about her undercover work. She's a cop, and she sees it the way a cop does.
These kids need to wake up. They need to realize they can't be doing this.
And using undercover officers has gotten results. The police in Palm Beach County tried the same tactics again at another group of schools last semester. So far, they've arrested more than 80 people. All have pled guilty to charges ranging from selling cocaine and pills to bringing weapons on school property. Justin took a plea deal, 3 years probation in exchange for pleading guilty to the felony charge. His lawyer told him that if he went to trial, it would be his word against Naomi's, and they disagreed about the drug deal. He says she kept asking him to sell her marijuana. She says he brought it up first. He says she insisted he take money for it. She says he just took the money, without prompting. Either way, the police had Justin's text messages, telling Naomi he would get marijuana for her. So Justin's lawyer advised him, just take the plea. But before the deal came through, he spent more than a week in jail, going over and over in his mind what had happened, and still thinking, in spite of himself, about Naomi.
I would have a good time when I will be with her, and I will be with her like all the time. And that's why when all this collapsed and caved in, I felt so like it just hurt.
you had any contact with Naomi?
No, not
since you were arrested.
Not at all.
Have you tried to send her any messages?
No, I don't have any contact with her whatsoever. If I would, I would love to have a conversation with her, you know? I no disrespect or anything.
What would you tell her?
I would tell her, what the heck did she do?
Justin had planned to go into the Air Force after high school. He said he wanted to make something out of his life. And now, with a felony conviction, the armed forces, any part of it, was off the table. Justin's applying to community college. He says now, the whole thing seems kind of unbelievable. He was an honor roll student, a first-time offender with no criminal record. And of all the high schools, and all the towns, and all the world, she walked into his.